This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Hello, everybody. This is Patricia W. Fisher for Readers Entertainment Radio. It is Thursday, the Thursday before Thanksgiving, and it is Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day. I assume it's because of all those tasty treats everyone's going to have next week, our leftovers, so you don't have to cook through the weekend. And it is also I Love to Write Day, so all those people doing the novel in a month, keep going. You're halfway there. It's also Thor's Day, so a big shout-out to Chris Hemsworth, wherever you are, and you're always welcome to come on the show whenever you like. But today we have a wonderful guest returning, Miss Emily Mims. And writing was not this San Antonio teacher's first love. In fact, she wrote her first novel on a dare. After reading a book that was just terrible, her husband dared her to do better, so she did. And now this retired teacher is the author of over 20 books, three different series, including her Hill Country series and Smoky Mountain series. Her book, Noelle, comes out next month from her Smoky Mountain series. She lives in Texas with her husband, 40-plus years, and their dogs. If you want to get a hold of Emily, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All of the links are in the show write-up. Welcome today, Miss Emily. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Good. Now, you are such a world traveler. I love following you on Facebook because you always have these great posts about where you've traveled and everything. And I know that feeds into your books. What are some of the things that, little details that when you're traveling, make it into your stories?
Well, it's very much a sense of the place, the weather,
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven.
Let's turn that off. Okay. We're good. So you said a sense of the place.
A sense of the place, the weather, the scenery. Is it crowded? Is it not crowded? The feel of the people. Some places people are warm and welcoming and friendly. Some places you have to win them over a little bit. For example, in the Smoky Mountain series, I find everyone in Tennessee extremely friendly, and I tried to reflect that in the books.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about the newest book you have, Noelle. Now, it is all your books are romances in Smoky Mountain, but this one deals with a little bit harder topics, and especially relevant to some of the stuff that's going on and on the headlines and deeper discussions that people are having. Tell us a little bit about it.
It very much does. Although I love the lighthearted Christmas novels, I wanted to tackle something different. I wanted to deal with some deeper, I guess you could call them issues, and I wanted to do it in a Christmas setting because Christmas, although it's a wonderful time of the year, it's not immune to problems, to issues. I looked at two that, you know, are very much in the forefront right now. One is the issue of the Me Too movement and the issue of women not feeling that, you know, that they are safe. And the other issue is racism, which sadly enough is alive and well in our society, even in 2018. So I wove those into what I hope is a very compelling story set at Christmas, but yet dealing with so much more than just the Christmas season.
And the cover is beautiful. It's this wonderfully sweet child on the smiling at the camera, but it is a more serious discussion inside. So when you pick up the book, it is you do give the happily ever after, correct?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This couple, they had to work for it, but they do get their happily ever after. Yes, they do.
And so tell us a little bit about the story.
This deals with a young couple.
Oh, goodness. Her call dropped. So we're going to wait for her to call right back. But if you have a chance to look for Noelle, it's Noelle, in She will have that out next month. So when she calls back, we'll see when her anticipated date of publishing is for the story. In the meantime, while we're waiting for Emily to call us back, she is also an accomplished musician. She plays all sorts of wonderful instruments, ukulele for one, which is very cool. And her husband and she are also involved in community theater. And when we get her back, we'll also talk about how she met her husband. If you have never heard the story, it's delightful. And she just got back from driving back from Tennessee to see family members that will be heading overseas here for a couple of years. I believe they're in the military. And we're still waiting for her to call. So let's talk a little bit about books that are coming out this week from different publishers. I'm happy to say that I have a book coming out next Tuesday, the 20th will be coming out. It is called A Doctor for Christmas. Then we also have other books from Thule Publishing, Love Always by Carol Marinelli, Wedding at Mistletoe Chalet by Danny Collins, and Jeannie Watts, A Marvel Country Christmas. And we have Emily back. Here we are. Yes. Hi, sweetie.
Hi. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, I got a dial tone.
No worries. So you were telling us about a young couple in your book, Noelle.
Yes.
And that's where we lost you.
Okay. They were very much in love. She got pregnant. They marry. And then the baby's born. The baby is biracial. She realizes she was raped at a party, drugged and raped. She mm-hmm. takes the baby and flees, not because particularly the husband, but her father is the local Grand Dragon, and mm-hmm. she is terrified for her child's life. The story
sure.
picks up 5 years later when he finds her and realizes
okay.
that the child he thought was his, in fact, was the product of this incident.
Mm-hmm.
And the story involves them coming back together, the
okay.
process that they go through as they confront the rape, they confront the racism, they confront the obstacles, you know, his, I hate to say reluctance, but he's not sure he can love this child the way he
mm-hmm.
needs to be a father to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right.
this is fairly heavy for a Christmas novel. It's not
right.
the usual, but yet it actually weaves quite nicely into the Christmas theme of, you know, of love and acceptance and, you know, basically a man stepping in and rearing a child that, you know, was given to a woman he loves.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you bring it up because this month is National Adoption Month awareness, and we are adoptive parents. And that question, like you're saying, has actually came up to me from a friend who said, how do you love them? And I just thought that was a very strange question. It's like you just do. That's just what you do as a parent. And so, but the situation's different. So I can understand the hesitation to because of everything that surrounds the child coming into the world, but loving the child for who the child is, which is a gift. And I'm sure that's part of the process for them.
Yes, very much so, particularly for the young man.
Mm-hmm.
He comes at the end of the book. He learns to love her the way that she needs to be loved. But, you know, he has to work for that. And the heroine has to overcome her fear of
sure.
what the, not so much the hero, but she goes back to where her father
uh-huh.
lives. And she has to confront her father's terribly hateful attitude toward his
mm-hmm.
own grandchild.
Right. Do you also deal with confronting the person who committed the assault?
No, we do not. My editor and publisher and I discussed it, and the original version, we did have her confronting the young man who did it. But we decided that really it took away from the story. It did not add to it. It took away from the story between my hero and heroine. It was kind of a side piece, and we decided that it would be better left. It would just be better not to go there for the purposes of our story.
Okay. Okay. And when do you anticipate this will be ready to purchase?
Our target date is November the 27th, which will, 2 weeks from now? A little less than 2 weeks.
Okay.
It will be available on Amazon, Kobo, Smashwords, Barnes & Noble. Also available for a print book. If my reader wants one, she can order one through Amazon.
Okay, okay. So this is the 9th or 10th book in the Smoky Mountain series, correct?
This is the Smoky Mountain series. This is actually a bridge book because I am at the same time, although it's going to be considered part of the Smoky Mountain series, I am introducing my characters for a new series. I'm coming back here to San Antonio, and I am writing a series based on community theater. The Woodlawn Theater here in San Antonio is a wonderful, wonderful community institution. My husband volunteers with them, and they opened their doors and their hearts to me to research what, you know, the life and times of the of a community theater. So when Ike finds Cassie, he finds her acting at the Durango Street Theater here in San Antonio. That gives me an opportunity for my readers to meet my next cast of characters. Literally, they meet the first four heroines of the, we're going to call it the Durango Street Theater series. And only about chapter four does she go home to Tennessee. But I'm calling it my bridge book because my next book, the epilogue of this book of Noelle, introduces my first couple in the Durango Street Theater series.
Okay. Do you find that, I mean, I know this is brought up a lot when people have different series that sort of cross over or just completely separate series. Do you have to keep pretty good notes to keep everybody straight, to keep everybody organized in the right universe?
I have been known to go back and read old manuscripts. What color were their eyes? Oh, dear.
Exactly.
because when I have the first five books of the Durango Street Theater series plotted, and when I plotted Wade Baxter's story, I went back to he appeared in the Texas Hill Country series as a college student. He is now a grown man, an engineer, working here in San Antonio. But to get the details about Wade, I went back to Never and Always and reread the passages applying to him. So I don't keep a notebook. I know a lot of authors keep a notebook. I don't keep a notebook, but you know what? I have all those old manuscripts to go back and look at.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember years ago I was at a panel discussion with Brenda Jackson and Beverly Jenkins, and they talked about keeping a journal and keeping everybody straight. And the funny thing is that they said was readers remember.
They do.
And and if you don't keep your characters straight, they will be very upset.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, they should be. It's a compliment to us that they remember our stories that well.
Yes, and they're that invested.
Yes.
Well, I love that you have the book coming out in 2 weeks, so after Thanksgiving, but you have something for us to read over the Thanksgiving holidays, and it's called Rescued. So please tell us about Rescued.
Rescued is an anthology put together by eight authors of the Burroughs Publishing Company. We all wrote stories about rescue dogs. And
okay.
The proceeds from this will be donated to an organization that flies dogs from kill shelters here in Texas where the dogs don't have a chance, don't have a future, to areas of the country where there are homes for them. And
okay.
This is, you know, this can be quite expensive.
Sure.
And so the dogs are airlifted, so to speak, to a new home. I wrote about my own dog. My part in this anthology is called Coco. And Coco is here in the house somewhere. She got to star in her own story because my story about Coco is very much Coco's story. My hero and heroine from the Smokey Blue series are fictional. But
okay.
I pretty much told Coco's story of being rescued out from under a car and the trauma the little dog goes, you know, had been through and goes through adjusting to her new home.
And it's a really sweet cover. So, and it's got rescued on it, and then it's got this cute little dog right in the front. You've got the couple kind of, the couple's in the background, a little bit blurred, but it's definitely the dog that's the front and center of the cover. Did you guys have a lot of say in how you wanted the cover to go, or was that what the artist came up with?
It was a beautiful surprise.
Mm-hmm.
With eight of us in eight different dogs, there's no way that, you know, we could really have our own dog on the cover or
right.
a dog representing our breed. So our artist went with, you know, cute little dog that, you know, really could apply to any story, although my doggie is a Chiweenie. It looks nothing like the little dog on the cover, but that cover is darling, and I'm going to give a shout out right now to the Burroughs Art Department. They come up with the best covers ever. Noelle is also a product of the Burroughs Art Department, although I did get to choose the little girl. I had a choice of several little girls, and I got to pick that particular picture because she looked exact, in my mind's eye, exactly like my Noelle looks.
That's beautiful. I love it. So you've got the Durango Street Theater series coming up.
Mm-hmm.
When do you expect that first book to be available for us? And what's the first story?
I have no idea when it will be available because I took some time off from the writing to do the plotting. I am an inveterate plotter. I've got to have my... Well, there are two kind of writers, plotters and pantsers, and I fall firmly into the plotter category. In fact, I'm sitting here now with Vivian and Miguel's story in front of me that with a very detailed chapter-by-chapter plot. The next couple, the book will be called Vivi's Leading Man. Vivian Heiser and Miguel Abonce, she is a society girl here in San Antonio who's fallen on hard times. Miguel is her ex-husband. They tie up over the theater. They inherit the Durango Street Theater equally. He wants to sell. She does not. You can imagine where that's going to go.
Of course.
It's a good lead-off to... I think a good lead-off to how much the theater means to the theater people. Gotten a little deeper at Woodlawn than just buying a ticket, I have seen up close and personal. The theater is those actors and directors and producers and so forth. That's their heart and soul. Yeah. It's not a money thing with him because community theater doesn't make money, period, end of statement. It's a love of theater, a love of putting on a show here for the community that drives them. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that will be the driving force behind the Durango Street Theater series.
Wow. And, you know, it's interesting because community theater is always, I always find it one of the most fun things to take, just even a night out, but your family, and to expose them, because sometimes, you know, I love going to professional theater in the sense of like the Majestic or whomever, the Tobin here in San Antonio, but sometimes it's just not financially feasible for everyone. And so community theater is a wonderful way to see live theater.
It is, and the Woodlawn goes one step further. They have a children's academy that up to 600 children a year are exposed to acting, directing, makeup, set design. They put on several children's productions every year. The upcoming production, Annie,
mm-hmm.
will involve 22 local children in the adult production.
Mm-hmm.
And so these children, they're exposed to the other end of it. They get to act. They get to sing. They get to design costumes. They get to do the other, all of the components that go together in theater. And I want to give a shout out to the Woodlawn right now for that, because they really and truly are so much more than just performances for grown-ups.
Well, and two, what I also see for kids that are in theater classes, whether it's through their schools or through outside places such as Woodlawn, they are better at presenting book reports, and they're better at standing in front of a group of people to do a presentation when they're older. They're able to have conversations maybe outside their social circles. It gives them more than just performing a song on stage.
Oh, I agree. Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be featured in the upcoming series.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, I love it. Oh, gosh, Emily, I cannot wait to see this and read your stories. So how many do you have plotted 4 books for the Durango Street series so far?
So far I have plotted 5, and I have 3 more in my head.
Okay.
I like to do a longer series. You know, some people stop with the trilogy. Hill Country had 8. And the Durango, the Smoky Blue series has 9 with the bridge. And Durango
mm-hmm.
will have at least 8.
Okay.
Because I like to create a, you know, they call it creating a universe. I like to create a universe. If I'm going to go to that much trouble, I like to live there for a while. And I think I like, my readers do too.
Well, and I like that you're connecting the dots. So you've got Smoky Mountain, bridge over to Durango Street, and then you do or do not have a bridge over to the Hill Country series from one of the other?
Well, the last book, once again, I introduce Reynolds Navarro, who will be the hero of the first Smoky Blue series. So, yes,
mm-hmm.
those two are tied together because Ren is a supporting character, and once again, and in the epilogue of, once again, is set here in San Antonio. It's part of the Texas Hill Country series, but it is set
mm-hmm.
here in San Antonio. In the epilogue, he has fled San Antonio because there's a price on his head, and he
mm-hmm.
goes to Tennessee. And the epilogue takes place in the Acoustics, which is the bluegrass nightclub that is driving force or ties together the Smoky Blue series. And he is
mm-hmm.
looking at Kylie Richards, wondering if she killed her husband. He's there
undercover.
Wow.
Okay.
And so, yes,
okay.
I have I created a bridge. It's not as blatant as the bridge from Smoky Blue to Durango Street, but
sure.
There is a, you know, basically an invitation at the end to come see my new series. And I like
and
to do that
fun.
Because...
Yeah.
And occasionally yeah. in Smoky Blue, one or two of my characters from Texas Hill Country came to Tennessee to see the cousin or appeared in the Tennessee books. Not, you know, a whole lot, but, you know, often enough that, you know, hey, there's a reminder, there's another series back there that you might enjoy. And the Durango Street, it's a full three chapters in, maybe three and a half chapters in Noel.
Okay. Well, you know, it's very cool to see the crossover and to see all that, and it's, you know, it's fun because then your readers are like, oh, that little nugget of familiarity, or oh, wow, there's a whole other series I can pick up and start to read. So when you were growing up, did you read multiple series at the same time, or did you finish a series and then go to the next series, or how did you read when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, oh, I loved the Bobbsey twins. I read all of the Bobbsey twins. I loved Raggedy Ann and Andy, which, you know, I'm sitting here telling my age, you know, because a lot of those books, you know, they very much define the era of the 50s and 60s. I probably read my first romance novel. It was in a Reader's Digest condensed, and it was more of a romantic suspense. It was an old Victoria Holt, and so, of course, I started reading her work. I didn't pick up an out-and-out Harlequin romance, however, till I was late 20s. And then I wrote my first 18 books while I was in my 30s. I wrote 18 for Candlelight Ecstasy, which I had to hide them under a pen name because at that time I was teaching school. And in the 80s, you did not teach school and then go home and write love scenes at night on the same name and want to and keep your job.
Right.
I have had the two writing careers. I had I worked for Candlelight Ecstasy during the 80s, and then unfortunately took a 28-year hiatus before I went back to it for Burroughs, my current publisher.
Can people get your Candlelight series at all? Can we order it? Can we find
it? Three of them have been resurrected under Burroughs. Reissued them, and we did not modernize them. We left them set in the 80s, and then I wrote epilogues where are they 30 years later. The other 15 you can go on Amazon used and rare. Now, you would have to look under my pen name, Emily Elliott. And they're probably yellowed and crumbling, but you can get copies if you really, really, really want them. My thought, though, is read the newer books first. And then if you just love the work, then yes, you know, there's 15 more under Emily Elliott. They were Candlelight Ecstasies and Ecstasy Supremes.
Wow. Well, you've stayed plenty busy with your writing, and I'm so glad you came back to it. That 28 years hiatus, boy, you've got a lot of stories to tell that you kept in that wonderful head of yours.
I do.
Well, I wanted to say thank you so much for joining us again today on Readers Entertainment Radio, Emily. And her book, Noel, will be out November 27th. But if you don't want to wait for 2 weeks for a book by Emily, there's plenty of books. I have the links up in the write-up of the show. And Rescued is out right now. It also benefits Project Freedom Ride, which helps dogs get out of kill shelters to their forever homes. So thank you so, so much, Emily, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And please come back when you've got your Durango series up and rolling, and let's talk about it.
I sure will. Thank you again.
Thank you. And everybody out there, it's a long week next week, so please keep reading. Load up those Kindles, get your to-be read pile ready to roll, and have a great week.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.